text for our meditation this morning comes from Mark chapter 15. We read verses 6 through 15. Now at the feast, Pilate used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him up to be crucified. Dear friends in Christ, I want you to picture the events of Palm Sunday really quickly. Picture Jesus Christ, the King, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds gathered all around, laying their garments before him, cutting down palm branches and laying them down, and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Truly a wonderful reception for their rightful king. And yet then, think of how greatly that contrasts with our text today, as within just a few days, those cries of "Hosanna" transformed into cries of "Crucify him! Crucify him!" What a strange thing to happen. Well, why did these cries of "Hosanna" turn to "Crucify"? Well, it's because the Jews became disillusioned with Jesus. They were really disappointed because he didn't live up to their expectations for him. I'm sure similar things have happened to you. You know, you're looking forward to seeing a movie that just came out in the theaters, and you haven't seen it yet, but you have a friend that went and saw it, and they come back, and they can't stop talking about it. It was the greatest movie they've ever seen. Funniest script ever written. Best movie ever. Great cinematography. And then you go into the theater, you have all this hype circling in your mind, and you watch the movie, and there's just no way that it can live up to the hype. Or rather, you leave the theater and you're actually a little bit disappointed because it just didn't live up to your expectations. And a very similar thing was happening here with the Jews. See, they anticipated Jesus coming, and if they had been looking into Scripture, they would know exactly what he would come to do. And when he would come, then he would have lived up to their expectations, having fulfilled all of the law and the prophets. And yet, they didn't look to Scripture. No, rather, they believed the hype. They believed all the hype that Jesus Christ would come and he would be the king who would free them from Rome, who would come and set up an earthly kingdom and release them from Roman tyranny. They thought Jesus would be a king who would be their bread king, who would give them all the things they needed for this life and satisfy all their earthly desires. They thought that he would be a king who would come and pat them on the back, tell them that they're doing all right. They thought he would be one who would come and help them as they were trying to build their way to heaven through their Pharisaic works. And when Jesus came and didn't live up to any of these expectations, didn't live up to this hype, they were disappointed. And the cries of "Crucify him" rained down. Well, dear friends, does Jesus live up to your expectations? What do you want of your God? Do you want him to pat you on the back? Do you want him to tell you you're doing a good job, that he wants you in heaven because you're not quite as bad as other people? Do you want Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom, so to speak, by showering your life with constant blessings, by keeping away all bad things, that the second a trial or a cross comes upon you, he'll take it away from you, and you'll be happy once more? Well, if this is what you want of your king, if this is what you want Jesus to be, what happens when you run into sickness? when you hear the tough news about cancer, when you run into financial troubles, when you receive a rejection letter, or just general persecution. Well, if these are the things we want from our King and we run into these problems, oftentimes the temptation can be to doubt Christ and to really become disillusioned and doubt whether He really loves you or cares for you at all. Now, see how easy it is to become disillusioned. And there we are, right along with the Jews, shouting, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Now, I want you to picture the scene from our text. Picture there, standing on the stage, Jesus Christ, the innocent Lamb of God, perfect in every way. And on the other side, right next to Him, set as His equal, is Barabbas, a scowling, sneering murderer, an insurrectionist. And there's the crowd before them, screaming hatred at Jesus, shouting for Him to be crucified, begging for Pilate to release Barabbas. And then, gleefully, Barabbas is released to the crowd, and Jesus is led away as a lamb to the slaughtering house. And when you're picturing that scene, where do you picture yourself? If you're like me, I often picture myself standing in the middle of the crowd, shouting with the Jews, "Crucify Him!" And if that's where you picture yourself, that's a pretty good illustration because, as we said, it's our sins that led Him to the cross. It's our sins that caused Him to die just as much as those Jews that shouted for Him to be crucified. And while that's good, I want you to shift your perspective a little bit. Rather than standing in the crowd, I want you to picture yourself up on the stage. Picture yourself standing there, bound in chains, condemned to die. And next to you is Jesus Christ, innocent. Because, dear friends, we are all Barabbas. Every single one of us is in Barabbas' shoes. Because the cross, the crown of thorns, the scourging, the mocking, the spittle, all of it, that was destined for us. And yet Jesus took it willingly. And we, Barabbas, we go free. What a wonderful picture of what Christ has done for us. And we know that He's done it willingly because, as He says in John 10, verse 18, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus took your place and went to the cross so that you could go free, and He did it willingly. And when you doubt whether your King, Jesus, really loves you or cares about you, think about this. That you, guilty, you went free. And Jesus, innocent, He went to die so that someday you will rise and be with Him. Thanks be to God for doing this for our sake. We'll conclude our chapel this morning by singing hymn 143, verses 1, 3, and 5. 143, 1, 3, and 5.